You are now listening to Well, Well, Fillin' Out. Oh, poor man.
Ladies, serial killers are the best.
Well, she's never going to get that stain out.
Nothing says it's over like running over your ex.
It had to be a woman. It had to have been a woman.
Are you wearing it?
Wait, how big were her breasts?
So, in my mind, that's exactly how that played out. And once Villanelle realized the error of her ways, she did that run.
Right.
That run around the corner. And I pictured her tackling Eve into the camper for the love, the amore. The amoroso. That's amore.
I just love where they put them here at this camper. And if this was all them and choreographed mostly by them.
It was them.
I say bless you. You know why? Because I was comparing it to when after the Twizzler spin, will you give me everything I want? Yes. When it's like, Eve, you left your door open, but they're looking at each other as they're making their way to this for the drive to the Forest of Dean, but they're not looking at each other at the same time. It's sort of cute. It's a lot awkward. And then Velna opens the door thinking Eve's going to go in it, but she's like, no, I'm just going to go around to the outside. Like, I can't be near you right now. Villanelle, now, even though they are both sitting next to each other in the backseat with the vibes emanating off of one another. And it's like, so yeah, I think y'all just gonna cut to y'all being at the Forest Dean. Like, we don't know that something
but
went
see,
down.
Emerald,
we knew. Emerald was like,
it's still on my bucket list to cash that bitch Emerald in a motherfucking bar. I don't care where it is, girl.
Oh, where's that?
You worked on this movie for WB. I will find out where you had the bar to be like, bitch, tell me your headcanon. Forest Dean.
Right.
Bitch, I know you got something. They said, ma'am, the ride was ours. And they left.
And
it was night.
And they showed up.
The sun was down.
Right.
And they showed up when the sun was high in the sky.
Right.
It wasn't hazy. It wasn't orange.
Right.
It wasn't purple. It wasn't
bright.
It was bright.
Right.
It might as well have been high noon.
Right.
So, ma'am, I need you to come clean. All right. I need you to tell me the unedited version of what happened there. But yes, so they go to the side of the van and Eve lets out some laughter.
It's joy.
It's jaunty.
Yeah.
It's jaunty joy, sapphic joy, you know? And oh, that song Bite Marks by the Misties is playing throughout this kiss. But I'm sure y'all already know that. I'm sure y'all got playlists. I'm sure all kinds of things have happened. Perhaps you slow danced with your love to this song. Who knows how you guys have taken the inspiration, but it's a moment. It's a beautiful moment. And I remember for like that quick second of clownery where I thought we could get something in the van. Something specific after the van. And spoiler alert, I played myself.
Yeah, of course, they're not going to do anything to say that moment happened, because the cuts we get inside the van is first Eve looking like she spent some energy.
But listen, before we even get to that bullshit re-added scene, we have to take some stock of this scene, because it was still daylight. And I know it's because they cut the scene in there, but I'm just like, they had already done a lot of the day. The way the sun should have been falling, especially in the UK. Like, how quickly, Laura, are you suggesting then they had sex, girl? Like, how quickly? What do you think this is? The headshot?
It is head shenanigans at this point.
What do you think this is? 3 minutes in hell versus 17 hours in heaven leading to dehydration?
Right. Y'all could have told us that this is a new day. Which I could have did.
I truly hate Laura Neal for this, because it is fucked. And she wasted minutes on Carolyn and Pam and Hugo and Constantine, ultimately just to plan our fucking faces. When it comes to the most important scenes with Eve and Villanelle, it's like, bitch, the way we needed an after scene. You didn't see Emerald season? You didn't see what happened after Eve dropped to her knees? Girl, we needed a see. And instead, we don't get it. We don't get it. Because we both know it's just not realistic. It's not realistic for them to stop fucking anytime soon. It's not realistic. Especially not the way they play the kiss. They couldn't keep their hands off each other. They were walking as they kissed, but suddenly.
Thank you.
Oh, what happened? Was there an alarm? Was there just one O? And they were like, oh, the 12. Oh my God, the 12.
Like, oh no.
Oh my God.
Oh no, the late rent's phone. Sorry. No, we got to hurry to get to our location. Like, I can't. Whatever it was.
Like, what the fuck.
I like that during most of all of that smooch, nobody was thinking about the 12. At that point,
the 12.
Right. They could have packed up and went.
You know what they're
anywhere.
Thinking of? That fucking first meet that they laid eyes each other for the second time.
Yeah.
Outside of the car.
Yes.
And Villanelle blew a kiss with a bullet. And Eve's underwears were a hot mess. And
oh, she was bad.
Elena was in the back.
Elena
like,
was
you bitch!
Right, right.
You
O's when I told you to just drive.
Bitch, next time you want to catch your O, leave us at home. That's why Elena was off the team. She's like, I can't trust.
Imagine me dying.
She's chasing. Oh, not a criminal. She's chasing an orgasm.
Right.
And I can't be bothered. Mm-mm-mm-mm. But yeah, with all the years of tension and desire. And we know that Villanelle is in love with this woman. She said it in series 2 and reiterated that in series 4. She doesn't care about the 12. Terrence, she only cares about Eve. Literally, it couldn't be more obvious. She only cares about Eve. Ugh. Anyways, let me not let my eyes get glassy as I get even more upset about this. Because we're back in the camper van and we're back to the bullshit because that is a scene that we saw already.
Right.
We saw the scene. Laura reuses the lip biting scene, which, as we've said before, maybe on the live or who knows, in the many times we've talked about this, but it makes one wonder about how much of the kiss was planned versus improvised, because you had no plan in the storyboard for an after sex shot.
Oh yeah, they did not. Oh.
So I don't. It's a mad ting.
It is. Mad.
It's like what the Brits say, mad ting. That's a mad ting.
No, right.
It's a mad ting.
Because the way they kept saying it in all the interviews, oh, we kept moving the kiss around. So it's like, so then did you move the
sex
around
after? It should be multiple things of sex.
Right. Where was the after for any of those other locations? Did nobody get after shots?
Did no one think they needed one?
Right.
Did no one say, let's just make sure?
She was like, oh, it's time to move on to the shot list. And they're like, but we're not done with the date. No, we are done. But Lord, we need
it's
to.
Rude. It's rude. Because the way, like, we have it codified in the podcast and on tape how low we were when Eve dropped to her knees. Like, we're taken so deep into the annals. And because that episode, from what I was saying before about like the pre, the sex, and the after, Emerald gave a masterclass in how to do all of that and create, you know, the height of eroticism, the height of sensuality, provocative shit without actually showing any of those things. Because it's Villanelle's energy to Nico, where she's like, oh, she didn't tell you. She was in my flash. She got in my bed. Like, it's the energy Villanelle has. She transfers that energy literally to Nico because she's like, try it with your wife. And he's like, yo, bitch. But I will try it. Then he gets home and he tries that shit. And Eve is like, oh, vapors.
Do you
drops
want me to
her knees.
Do you want me to scare you?
I don't know.
Let's see where this goes. And she woke
get
up.
Get on your knees.
She
right.
woke up the next day. She was
but wait,
like.
Villanelle in the rain.
Right.
You can't leave out Villanelle in the fucking rain. Standing in the rain. Soaking
God
wet.
Damn it.
In every way that you could be soaking wet. Mad at herself. Like, I can't believe I did this. And you know, Villanelle, that wouldn't be the last time that you caused a jaunty situation while also poon blocking yourself. And she was out there in the rain, mad. And we remember, we were like, it could have been for hours.
No.
Because we don't know what the fuck her and Nico were doing. And we don't have to see that. And it's almost better that our imagination can fill in the blanks about how long was Villanelle out there getting her whole life, but also really mad as fuck at Nico, because that also explains the energy when she hems Nico up by this mustache. And she's like, shouldn't you be saying thank you? Because a bitch saw what y'all did. And I really feel like I deserve some fucking gratitude, bitch. So we have all of that in one episode, Terrence. It was one fucking episode.
And
in that same episode, people were still killed. Plot still happened.
Right.
And Emerald still managed to give us all this fucking shit. And Laura, in the final fucking episode of the show, can't manage to even touch 10%
Laura said,
of that
I could either walk or I could chew gum. I can't do both.
I can't do both.
Poor Jamie.
Oh, my God. Now you just made me think of that Irish movie. Jamie and his cradle. Poor Jamie. Sailing away in his cradle.
Emerald,
that's Laura's fucking ideas.
Emerald gave a sad Nico after sex going, I don't know what you want anymore. I don't know if I can.
I don't know who you are.
Mind you, Eve was like, oh, that was, you know what?
Actually. Eve was like, bitch, I never had better fucking sleep, bitch. My skin feels clearer, bitch. The sun is shining brighter. Fuck. Might we have new energy for our marriage? And he's like, Eve, I don't even know who the fuck you are. Eve, I'm disturbed. No, don't touch me. I'm going to work. See my work wife. And tell her about the degradation that you caused me to suffer. Like, you got your O, and I hope you're happy, Eve.
For one, in 20 years, I get an O, and all of a sudden, you don't know who I am anymore?
Exactly. That's exactly right.
I hate men. I just do. I hate this. I hate this for Eve. I hate that this was her journey into getting to her
But it was such a jaunty journey.
No, it was.
It's such a sense of the perils. I tried to beat you up that day for making us watch that scene early because it ruined our week. It ruined our week.
That was. It
ruined it.
That was AMC Plus's fault.
No, it was. But literally within what, like two episodes, we have thing one and thing two. And once again, and honestly, I feel like our snack when we were recapping that Eve showing up to the safe house.
Oh, yes.
Just opening the door with her keys. I feel like that took a half hour all by itself because we couldn't get over the fact that Emerald, this is what you doing, bitch. This is how you serving, bitch. That Eve just let herself the fuck in.
Yes.
Villanelle was like, I may not be dressed. She's like, bitch, I don't care. I don't care if you're dressed. Right. You can get dressed right here. In fact, drop the robe. And it was like, oh, Eve is on some different energy because her marriage is over. Her marriage is in the fucking dumps and she knows it. And she's never been more receptive to Villanelle's energy. But Villanelle had just had a really interesting day. She had a really interesting day with Aaron. She really had to hold a lot back. And then she went to the, what was it? The Middle Eastern bodega. I don't know what it was, but she was somewhere. A halal shop or something.
Their version of Crown Chicken or whatever. And she saw
pretty girls who gave her looks. She's like, bitch, let me go. Let me go do what I do. Go scare these girls into my boudoir. And then she did, just for Eve to come over and be in that Eve moment where the hair's down. Parka jacket's coming off. All right. Which means the armor's coming off.
Right.
And she's ready to fucking talk. She's ready to let a bitch in. And Villanelle's like, oh shit. And she has that slither. She's like, slither right on up. Hey girl, what's up with you? You okay? You good? You want to talk? You want to talk about it? You can totally talk about it.
And it was the line in which the flush happened because she was like, I feel things when I'm with you. And I was like, damn it.
Listen,
she's laying it on thick.
That scene does so much because I don't know what. See, and this is like, it's about like the combination of all the things that make an artistic visual thing great because Sandra Oh looked bomb.
Yes.
And that scene, just her hair was, that's probably one of the top episodes that her hair's just been like, wow. Look at your hair. Look at your face. Look at everything. And the same with Villanelle. She's wearing that silk robe.
Mm-hmm.
She was like understated for what Villanelle usually does, raw, open, and it fit for the fucking scene. And you're like, these bitches are looking good. The energy is flowing. I love all of this visually. They're in a bedroom in the middle of the apartment.
Right.
Why? What? What? This is giving me series one callback because they're on a bed. And last time we were on a bed, wild shit happened. Wild shit may happen again.
Right.
Only for that flush. When she's like, listen, girl. Because Eve was having a crisis.
Right.
Eve was like, listen, I heard what the fuck you said at the meeting. All right. I took you seriously. You're a good fucking actor. Were you acting? Because I need to know. Is it true? Is it true that you don't feel anything? That you just like, you're just in life not feeling shit? Because I feel like you told me you felt shit. And now you're saying you don't feel anything. I just want to know what's the truth. Do you even know? Then I was like, I don't think I do, bitch. I don't think I know exactly.
Right.
And then she picks up that, oh, wait, well, this is about us. Oh, you're concerned about you. Well, Eve, I feel things when I'm with you.
Yes.
And Eve was like, oh my God. And then you see her get that look like, and you're like, oh shit, Emerald, are we about to do it?
Right.
And I hear the flush.
Flush. I was like, God.
And you're like, motherfucker, who's in the bathroom? Thing then, one.
Right.
Hey, dang. I heard another woman arrive, and it just sounds like you guys are getting really close to where we just were.
Right.
And so I feel like it's probably the best. Like, we were waiting in the bathroom. I just said I was going to walk out first, try to make it less awkward. I'm going to go. Oh, thanks for the sex.
You're welcome. And Eve is over.
And Eve getting tight.
Right.
She's like, don't be jealous.
Right.
Not with them. And that was, come on, Emerald.
Right.
Emerald, you will always be famous.
I'm not with
because
them.
She said it straight up. Don't
when
be jealous.
I'm with them.
And Eve once again was like, okay, I like what you're putting down because what I just put on Nico the other day, it wasn't for him. It was for you.
Right.
And here go,
what?
And it's like, okay. Bye. And then Villanelle had to put it over the top like, I didn't know what her name was. Do you think she knew? Do you think she could tell? I can remember her shit.
Mm-mm-mm-mm.
And here's Eve. Is anyone else here?
Villanelle said, no, I don't think so.
No, she's like, well, I don't think so. And then you hear the door close. No, definitely not. And Eve is like, well, you know who's not here?
Me
either.
Right.
Bye, bitch. Take the book. Read the book. Read the things. Prepare for Aaron, bitch. I'm out of here. I'm totally going to go through this line for line, page for page. All right? While you dress. But now I got to go because I can't deal with this. Goodbye. And then Villanelle was left there like, motherfuck. Motherfuck myself.
Right. Because, I can't block myself. Right.
Here I go. Here I go. Here I go. Here I go again. What's my weakness? Women. Oh, Villanelle. I don't know why this song just came into my head. Maybe it was because I read about that Taylor Swift lawsuit. But it also fits for Villanelle. Players, they gon' play.
Oh, right.
Uh-huh. And haters, they gonna hate.
Yep.
Bones, they gonna bump. Shot colors, they gonna call. Yeah, that's for Villanelle. So anyways, that was a jaunty side route because literally y'all know, like, we have been in this for a minute, and there were some women writers who really built up that tension, and their names are Phoebe and Emerald.
Yes.
And between series one, I think about you all the time. Come on!
Yes. Thank you.
I think about you too. I masturbate about you a lot. That was series one.
Right. Too much.
And they were in a bed. No. Too much. That was an excellent too much. And then we get to series two, and series two again.
It's a plethora.
I don't know how people ever said series two was shit when we had so much stuff. We had so much stuff in series two.
Are you going to be listening all night?
So much energy. You going to listen all night?
Oh, yes. My
and
fucking God.
It was
God.
Rhetorical. She was like, I know you're going to listen all night. It's like, yo, y'all are on another level.
She's over here. She's behind this door.
Fucking Jess. Her pregnant Jess. Looking at unhinged Eve like, yo, how did she get this job? It's because she's not really getting paid. In fact, I don't even think she's really employed.
Right. She's not getting checks. Right. The whole thing was.
My she God. Probably thought she was the lover of Carolyn at that point because we know Carolyn's rotation was
actually. That's great to think of.
Yes,
like,
and Carolyn
Hugo
has
thinks
no
that
ethics.
It's Kenny's lover, but just thinks it's Carolyn's lover.
Yes,
I love it.
Exactly.
Love it.
Oh my God. So it's absolutely absurd, as we've clearly stated, for them not to have anything preceding extensively this concept of them having sex finally or connecting intimately, and then nothing during or after. And it would have been like, it just, I've already said, it didn't have to be anything explicit. Like, it just had to be words,
right?
Words. That's awesome. Looks like an after John thingy. And I also maintain that they would not think they, which is potentially why, if you wanted to have them take out the 12, and I say they because I just refuse to accept Villanelle by herself.
Thank you.
That you have them hook up an episode at least before so that they have time to marinate in the queer ridiculousness that would happen when you have sex for the first time with something you've been wanting, desiring for what was it, years? Gunshots, dramas, bus kisses, slaps around the world, the box, ee-ooh. Like, it just, you can't, that's not a 5-minute situation. It's not. We've just been going through the show. What's that show? Gypsy. Like, aren't they not doing a better job with the sapphic shit?
Yes,
like, there's a lot
the
of mess happening
mess,
in there.
Right.
The mess is
it's
mess.
Cute.
But it's the sapphic it's energy
wrapped,
is.
Right. It's wrapped correctly.
You know, there's a baby.
I'm here for an Americana. Are you really? You're just here for the coffee? I mean. Come to the back.
I might be here to look at your face
right,
as well.
Right. Well, I
might be here to get the fucking baby.
I don't know how
switch.
You got me here in the stock room. I don't know how. How did I get here when I just said I wanted Americana? I don't know. What is...
It's like, bitch, you walked to the back.
Right.
You took yourself there.
Right.
You wanted this. Oh, it's on my way to work. No, the fuck it is, bitch. It's on the other side of Manhattan. Oh, my God. So we've been deprived. It's not fair. It's not fair because not only would and could it have been funny, and it should have been funny, as well as being sensual and erotic, as well as being romantic. Like, it could have been all those things. And I feel like Phoebe knew how to write that. I think Emerald could write that. Suzanne, who knows? Honestly, she'd have to try, but Laura
absolutely
knows nothing. She knows nothing about happiness.
Missed
about good sex, sapphic sex. I don't. Oof. She doesn't get it. She doesn't.
Yeah.
Comprehend it. She fully didn't remember the bug sex.
She fully is
literally the bug
her
sex happened all
card.
Night. Literally, Eve took that earpiece out of her ear
right.
the next day, but they didn't fuck that long in person. Who are you kidding, Laura Neal? They had longer sex in Italy. Oh my God! We didn't deserve this. We didn't. We didn't.
So magically, it's the same day. But, you know, whatever.
Oh, it's the same day. And it looks like no time has passed at all. It's just a quick jaunt in there. And then, yes, we have this motherfucking scene, lip-biting scene that they put back. And I believe it is to imply that Villanelle is in the shits. And it makes me more upset because I feel like, you know, they put that in because that was all they had. But it's like, how do you not see what Jodi was conjuring? Like, this is not the person who goes in to just kill the 12 by herself without a plan. Like, this is not that Villanelle. The Villanelle that told Eve to be careful. The Villanelle that was trying to protect Eve. Like, she's just randomly, wanton, without a weapon, so that she has to grab a weapon while she's in the boat, is heading out to kill the 12. Fuck y'all. So
she said, I'm going to improvise and what?
Whatever. Sure. I know we're not there yet. Let me try to end this scene on a positive note, which is that I would like to re-up my agenda of Villanelle on the bottom. For Eve and her first jaunt, in terms of, like, you know, the vibes that we always talk about, I just feel like Villanelle is very clearly in this re-put-in scene. She is implying that she would clearly do anything for Eve. What do the babies call it? Simping. Villanelle.
Sure, right.
Listen, she just
Shrimping,
got the O.
Right.
Please. Look, Terrence, I just don't, what? Like, Eve could have said anything. Like,
no,
she could have said, let's go ride a whale bareback. And Villanelle would be like, bitch.
Yep, let's do
whatever
it.
You want
right
now.
Mm-hmm.
That's what that was giving me. And Damn you, Lauren Neal, for taking my Villanelle away. My God, she just got everything she wanted. And they literally said, oh, well, you know what's going to be up next on the menu? Murder.
No.
Death. But before we get to the murder and death, we do get back to the Barn Swallow, which is the title card we get. And in the parentheses, they have MI6's pub and whatever with your parentheses. Why are we doing parentheses on title cards, Laura? But yes, we are. We are.
Weird behavior. Weird
it's
behavior.
Weird. So Carolyn is like messing with a coaster, isn't she? When we open the scene.
Yeah, she's sitting at one of the tables that mess with a coaster. Pamela, she comes downstairs because of, oh, downstairs or in frame, let's say. She comes in frame because she was doing her own, I guess, canvas of the area.
She was getting a lay. Because she says something about the upstairs rooms being empty, so she must have been up there looking around.
Yeah, and then she said that also that in the cellar that there was a lone guy eating pickles straight from the jar.
Okay, but isn't that how a lot of people eat pickles? Like, if it's just for you, it's your pickles. You can't take it straight from the jar?
Right, that's what I was thinking, personally.
It's less mess. Why dirty a dish?
Well, the response we get from that line is, how wretched. And I'm like, why do they not do pickles?
This is Laura's bad humor. She's not funny. She's not very funny.
I mean, I get that pickles is, I guess, not for everybody, but
still. Oh my God, you know what? I think Laura, like, her best way to imitate Phoebe's style is to be random. But the randomness isn't actually funny or dark
it's
humor.
Not hitting.
It's just random.
Right.
Like the Carolyn Snapple facts. The Carolyn Snapple facts used to hit when Phoebe did it. They hit when Emerald did it. I mean, look at Julia Guglia. I lived off the waves and vibes of Julia Guglia until they told me Carolyn was an agent of the patriarchy. And I said, get her out of here. But yes, I don't think Laura knows how to. I think that is how she interprets Phoebe's style. Oh, let me just be random for Carolyn and that'll work. But it doesn't. It really doesn't.
And after, of course, she says how wretched the doors to the Barn Swallow open.
Oh, this is right before, or rather, it's right after Pam asks if they should go.
Oh, right.
And then Eve throws in the door. She throws open the door and she walks in with her hair fucking down, which is of note, y'all. And I need to note it because I really feel like, once again, here we have a production issue. Because in my mind, the vision of Eve Palacio that we see in the Barn Swallow post the indicative kiss scene, the implied sex scene, my God, of the camper van is that this is what Eve should look like after sex versus that van clip they had to put back in because they had nothing because her hair was back up in a bun.
It was a neat bun.
Like she brushed it. Who has time? Who does it? Who brushes their hair in a dirty camper van after sex? I don't know who
definitely
does it.
Definitely not Eva Astor. I don't see that.
Right. And the only explanation for that, which I guess because we have to take what they edited in, is that they had sex again. And Eve's hair was fucking down because she was in different clothes, Terrence. The shirt was half tucked. It was
that
a half tuck. It's what you do when you get dressed in a hurry, perhaps. And maybe that's what Sandra was thinking when she had her vision presented that way, because she wouldn't have known that, okay, this repeated scene is going to go into post and whatever. And so I feel like that was supposed to be the natural visual connection, if we're going in a congruous nature for what happened, but it isn't because they were out of sorts with how they were shooting the episode, and so things do not align. But that's what I wanted potentially in the van that would be in line with Eve's whole characterization. Wear it down from episode one would be hair down, especially because you guys didn't have her hair down when they kissed. You didn't let Villanelle put her fingers through Eve's locks while they kissed. You know this bitch loves a good head of hair, and you said no instead of hearing
Right, we did this all show long.
All show, the entire show.
Villanelle with the dark wavy hair obsession.
All show.
And did not
she didn't
let
get to touch
her play
it. Right.
And Sandra O's
it's
hair.
It's fucked up.
Wow.
It's homophobic violence.
How are you as a writer for this show? How do you feel now dropping this ball? Like, I hope every single one of y'all writers
wanted to drop it.
Finally watched the show in its entirety to be like, wow, okay, so yeah, we really fucked up. Like, we really, like, y'all should feel like how they felt when they made E.T. the video game. That's how y'all should feel.
That is a pull, sir.
Oh, it is. I'm sorry. That is a super pull. No one's going to know what I'm talking about.
I don't think
but
they will.
But E.T. was a movie, Spielberg.
They probably know about the E.T. movie, but it was like a moment.
But someone decided to make a video game based off the movie, and it came out around the same time. So sadly, they didn't know what to take from the movie to make a game. I wouldn't know how to make a game based off of E.T. personally, but what they did put out was a hot mess.
That's funny. People who are aware of that game might be the same people, if in America, that actually rode the E.T. ride way back in the day before they took it out. Before it changed, I think, for safety, because you used to be on the bikes. It used to be elevated because I went up there and my last memory doing that ride is when my mom was pregnant with my little sister. But it was like, we was up there and it was like, oh, we get a little thrill up here on the bikes. But then 1 year back to Disney Universal and it was gone. And I'm like, did someone fall? Did someone? Because people was always cutting up, especially the older kids on there that was cutting up. And I could see someone going down off that bike.
Well,
sorry for that person, whoever fucking fell. But yes, yeah, so Eve is coming in here and she looks jaunty as fuck. And I just feel like her energy matches post-sex energy with Philly now, right? Mm-hmm. Like it just matches. I had several O's and I'm on another level. I'm on another Pilastri level because her energy is speaking. And Villanelle's energy is still deferring. Uh-huh. She's like, this bitch can have whatever she wants. Do you hear me? Whatever she wants. So
Villanelle's like, she's like, oh, Carolyn. Like, oh, wow. Like, I haven't seen you since I tried to kill you in Havana. How's it going?
Ugh, and this scene really pisses me off in retrospect because Carolyn's such a fake bitch. To Villanelle, yes. Why are you dapping a bitch up? Why are you saying things? Why are you acting friendly? You didn't have to be that additionally fake. Like, Laura, you didn't have to write that. Like, you could have tried to give the audience some indicator that Carolyn was going to be stank ass. But no, you have her in there kikiing with Villanelle. Like, they're besties, best friends.
Right. And of course, Eve Pilastri is over. She's like, look, can we?
She's immediately over it.
Can we have some moment alone, please? And of course, Villanelle's like, look, whatever.
Whatever wife he wants.
Whatever you
whatever
want.
Wife he wants. Wife he gets.
No, right.
And right now, my little wifey wants you. And I feel like in between coitus, during coitus, whatever, Eve told a story. And then I shot that motherfucker in front of Carolyn's face. And I was like, bitch, if you don't. Mm-hmm. And Villanelle potentially caught another O right there. She said, woo, vapors. One more time.
And then I told her, how does it feel?
She surely said that. D'Angelo style. How does it feel?
Lord.
Bitch. So once Villanelle concedes to be like, Pam, we got to go over here. They got to talk. And Eve sits down. Carolyn starts by saying, look, whatever muck you intend to sling, bitch, spare me. Please spare me. Because the last time I saw you, ho, you was on some other shit. In fact, I thought you could have shot me. And Eve, you probably should have shot her at that time. But Eve says that she actually wanted to thank her. And Carolyn's like, well, that's disconcerting, especially given our last meeting, ho. And that's funny. But Eve says it's because if Carolyn hadn't spotted her in that meeting with Bill, she wouldn't even be here today. She'd still be warming her tea in the microwave. And I don't even know what that line's supposed to mean, which is why I have to look once again at Laura Neal and say, what does that mean? Warming her tea in the microwave. What about this experience has stopped her from warming her tea in the microwave? Lord knows she was living in a hotel. She still lives in a hotel.
Thank you.
So she doesn't have a stove. She's got a microwave at best warming her tea. Why write that line? You see what I mean about Laura's randomness? It doesn't hit. It's more random than it is relevant.
True.
To the characters.
Oh, and then the way Carolyn receives this thank you is a choice. Is a choice. I don't know what they wanted.
The choice is bullshit.
Right.
I have the line here. I'll read it. Carolyn says the following bullshit. One of the great unspoken truths of life, Eve, is that people behave exactly as you expect them to. Take you, for example. You're about to embark on some mad endgame when, in fact, you know deep down you're just a woman who likes an inappropriately timed croissant on a hungover Sunday morning. And it's like, Terrence, where the fuck does this line come? What? Terrence, help me. Where does this come from?
And the fact that it's also wrong, also, because...
Of course it's wrong. Right. Where did she pull it? Like, what multiverse did she get this from?
Because you can't now joke at Eve that Eve is not, what, without her potential? When you sought her out because she had... Her murder board.
She had the murder potential.
Eve's murder board was basically what you had in your office.
Literally, that speech at the end of series 2, when Eve still thought she had the upper hand. And she was like, yo, I'm going to tell Kenny on what she did. She's like, bitch, Kenny is here.
Right.
He's in the plan, ho.
Wow.
And is it really my fault that y'all acted exactly the way I expected you to act? And you're just upset that it's murder. But I've been new that you were capable of it. And thank you so much. Now, don't hold a grudge. Come on back. Come on back to Tommy.
Right.
She was like, fuck you. I'm not coming back. I'm never coming back.
And so this definitely spits into that speech's face because...
Right. That's
that was
saying.
The truth this season.
That's
two.
What I'm saying.
That was the truth.
It's
so whatever
it's contradictory.
Is, right.
It's not consistent, which is the name of the game in this fucking episode written by Laura Neal. Inconsistency, nonsensical, out of character, fucking behavior in writing. yay. So Eve replies,
and you're going to race me to it.
Even though, you know, deep down, you don't have an excuse anymore.
Right.
You knew who killed Kenny. You just pretended not to so you could keep playing the game. And Carolyn replies that she was going to do that, yes, but now I'm going to behave exactly as you'd expect me to and do something different.
Ugh.
It's like, whatever.
What are these
trash
lies?
Trash this whole line. Trash the whole interaction. Trash the whole fucking scene.
We are in
Bruh,
the
does
final
nothing.
Episode.
I hate it.
This makes no sense.
Only thing good about this, like I said, was the energy from Villanelle and Eve. The post-sex jaunt. Thank you, Sandra and Jody, for understanding the goddamn assignment.
And so I'm sure the cameraman was sick and tired of whatever this exchange was, because they finally pivot over to Pam watching Villanelle throw darts at the dartboard.
Yes.
And she apologizes about Constantine. And Villanelle doesn't know what's going
on. She looks at her like, yo, is the old man dead? The fuck? And Pam nods.
Right.
And Villanelle says, goodbye, you old bastard. In Russian. As she throws a dart in his honor. Oh. Well, that's perhaps more than he deserves in a sense, because his last words were for Carolyn. Not for his daughter, not for you. They're for Carolyn, for some reason.
And it's odd that we have Villanelle spending so much time with Constantine from series one all the way up to now. And this is the one line where she gets to acknowledge anything about Constantine post-life. And this is how they did it. And it's like, well, thank you, writers, for...
It's rude to Cambodia.
Right.
It's rude to
I get
Jimmy.
It. In the end of series two, he said, characters. Because you're not family. I get it. I get that.
Okay, but they totally undermined
thank
that.
You.
Like, Suzanne undermined the entirety of the intensity of that fucking scene.
And Emerald that was a choice.
Wrote. And that scene was so fucking intense. And
it was
so brilliantly acted by Kim Bodnia and Jodie Comer, like her fucking face, where he was like, well, you know, you got a little family out there. She was like, bitch, what? The way you lie? Like, just the way she played it. Like, it was just, like, I wanted to see a way more intense energy from her that was real for Constantine, because it felt like we were slowly getting more real. That we start season one and she's playing games. She's doing skits.
Right.
She's pretending that she's dead.
And right.
She's setting up this whole scene. And then as we get to the end of series one, she's commenting about the bracelet. And hey, I know you got a kid. And then, of course, it gets to the point where, like, I'm in your kid's life. In fact, I got your kid right now. And then series two goes the way that it goes and ends the way that it does, where it's the most serious it's ever been, where her and Constantine were in conflict, naturally.
Right.
Because she shot him and, okay, they get back together. Constantine is ribbing at her, like that fucking scene where she's in the car singing after Eve, and then he fucking gaslights her about the ghost. And when she's like, oh, so to Eve, what, like, was Eve talking about me? And he's like, well, it's actually the ghost now. Like, that's who she's into. Like, that nature of their relationship that always had a little undercurrent of mischievousness.
Right. Yes.
And the fact that y'all really couldn't trust each other, even though you trust each other, but it's that spy kind of trust. It's that assassin trust. And they just undermined the multi-layered serious nature and dark comedy that Phoebe and Emerald wrote into for them.
Right.
By just making it a joke.
And then she said, oh, you think that Constantine was the one that toughened her up and got her the skills that she needed. But there was also a Dasha. She was also there. She was also helping to raise and train Villanelle.
That's right.
And I was like, you know what? So is Dasha and Constantine supposed to be like her boss, her work mom, and her work dad? But even if that's the case, she had no words for her. Well, actually, I killed her. No, I killed her. I guess we both killed her then. But that was the only acknowledgement of Dasha.
Ever.
Ever. Nothing mentioned of Dasha in series four. Yes, she was on Eve's murder board, but no one said anything about Dasha.
And remember, we didn't get full confirmation that she died. We just had to guess that she
just coded dead. In a hospital.
Bitch.
Like, if there's anyone equipped to rescue someone who's coding, she was in the place to code, is all I'm saying.
She was.
And so,
you know what? Yeah. And that's Suzanne's groceries. And she has been saved by Laura's absolute abject horror. Because we didn't think it could get any worse. Remember when Sierra was watching series three and she was like, I'm tapped out. I don't know what's going on. It can't get any worse than this. And then, of course,
I hold my beer.
Series
right.
four.
Right. Yes.
So, yeah,
it's the watering down of the intensity of Villanelle dealing with Constantine saying, we're not family, to us now getting to the end of, oh, he's dead. Goodbye, you old bastard, in Russian. And then that's it. That is all we get. We get no other acknowledgement from Villanelle that Constantine is gone, even though their relationship was as interwoven and as heavily, and they were heavily intertwined in each other's life. So, I stole your family. I kidnapped your child.
He was the primary protagonist. And that's important, which is why it's even more ridiculous that he was not killed by one of the other primary, like, people that we've seen and known for the entirety of the show. Which is why I was like, if it wasn't going to be Eve, which I would have taken, if it's not Villanelle, okay, because they still have some sort of relationship, then it should have been Idina. Like, that's the obvious choice if you're going to kill Constantine. It has to be one of those three or Carolyn. And it was none of them. So, whatever. So, after Pam has this moment with Villanelle, we're back to Eve and Carolyn, just sort of staring at each other until Eve gets a text. And the text has a picture of a boat. You know, the new 12 location, is digital. 12 right. is digital. And there's a postcard image that says new destination. Mm. And Eve appears to be thinking to herself until Carolyn interrupts those thoughts and says, finally, all the head honchos of the 12 in one room. And that gets Eve's attention because it's like, okay, do you know what text she's getting? Like, Laura, do you care to explain? No, you don't. You're not gonna. You're just gonna say that Carolyn has this information. It's just what it's what it is. And Eve is not going to press how Carolyn knows what's going on. It's just what it is.
It's the way that I'm wondering if this is an alley-oop from Constantine and that these messages were never from the 12 and that this was always a long game plot from Carolyn.
Not you. The 12 going down the rabbit
digital
hole.
Digital is a weird phrase for Constantine to say.
Let it go.
Because it's ridiculous.
It's okay. So is Laura Neal. Okay, Laura Neal is ridiculous. Right.
That's true.
Laura Neal is ridiculous.
That's true.
This is and remember when we first were watching, we were like, the 12 going digital is absurd. Like, the 12 is already a joke.
Right.
They took us to the 70s and said, let's make the 12 an even bigger joke as we show you Carolyn from the past. And it is. Look, L after L after L for series four. Truth. It is just what we get. Oh, and so after that, Carolyn says that.
Oh, I'll let you have this one with my blessing.
She says, I'll let you have this one, Eve. And it's really condescending. Like, which is why at least Eve says, it's always been
mine.
And thanks for that. Thanks.
No, the way I
bitch,
needed
didn't I just take Lars from you like last
thank
week?
You.
What the fuck
Some
are you talking
like
about? Respect me.
In the woods, right?
But that's Laura Neal.
Tree. it's she was like, I am this close to getting to the bottom of it. I'm like, Carolyn, that was you.
She was pathetic and begging, but I guess, it was just all a game, it was all a ruse. Carolyn's also someone on the sociopathic spectrum because she was faking all those emotions, evidently. And
I'll
so
let you have this one, my blessing.
That's what she says. It's absurd. Carolyn doesn't say anything in response to Eve saying it's always been mine. Just looks at her and then calls for Pam by her full government name, Pamela. And I guess. And then she tells Pam that there's been a change of plans and that they're going for a walk. It's like, okay, I guess. Bye, girls. Hmm. And Eve walks to Villanelle and tells her that they changed the location, the they being the 12, evidently. But before Villanelle can walk out with Eve, Carolyn calls out to her and says that she owes her a dare. And she's got her fake fucking smile on. Which infuriates me now. And they fist bump. And I said, who wrote this fist bump?
No.
Delete it. Delete fucking fist bump. And let me also take this opportunity to say, fuck Carolyn. Because fuck Carolyn forever. You duplicitous hoe. I trusted you. We all trusted you. We were rooting for you, Carolyn Martins. And this is what we got. Fist bumps and murder plots behind Villanelle's back. Fuck you for that.
And then she's saying something about missing Havana, the woman nice and dancing. What happened?
Girl, you did know dancing in Havana. What are you even talking about? Remember she said inebriated nudity. I was like, well, who? Because they didn't show us you having any of your rotation this season. So what are you talking about? Oh, this is Laura not remembering what she wrote again. Ooh,
actually, this is sad.
Okay,
it's
fine.
Sad at this point.
Eve is not amused, much like myself.
Right. Eve was not having it, whatever that was. I owe you
She's
a dare.
Been over Carolyn's shit since three episodes ago. And so she just throws her head back like, whatever, in a huff and continues to walk out. And Villanelle does her air rock guitar pose for Carolyn before gesturing at Eve in this way that's like, yo, do you see my wife over here? Like, do you see my girlfriend? Like, do you see how bad she is? I gotta go. Like, it's just the effort, or I guess the vibe with which Jody lifts her hands. It just feels like what a partner does.
Oh, right.
When one partner's beefing and you're looking at the rest of the people like, yo, they beefing. I gotta go. So you know how it is. I gotta go. And if anyone knows how Eve could beef, despite how Laura is writing her out of character, it's Carolyn. Like, Eve could walk out on a bitch. Eve is a petulant hoe. And she's been petulant with Carolyn since, I won't say day one, I'll say day two. Because she had to take a moment of getting used to Carolyn before she started turning the fuck up. But I would call season two an entire turn up of Eve against Carolyn.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Seth, we get Villanelle finally walking out of this frame. We are cut to, we're near the water. I don't know what you call those things.
We're
on
a pier. We are on a pier.
It's the thing
you are struggling like Eve was struggling into the boat. We are on a pier.
Okay, so we're on a pier.
There's commercial binoculars that you can put a coin in.
There we are.
And then you can look. you can look across the way and be like, oh, look, I can see closer through these things. And that is what Eve is doing. And she wants to see what's happening on this boat because, of course, look through the binoculars and you will see. And Villanelle asks what's happening. And Eve says, it can't be right because it just looks like a wedding. And then Villanelle wants to see. And when she goes to look through the thingies, she sees people, including a man in a tuxedo who appears to be talking in the earpiece like he's security or something. And then Villanelle is like, oh, smart. They're here because... Okay, Laura. Like, I just, you know, I just feel like there's reasons for people to have earpieces for weddings right. on boats. But
right.
Laura says, this clearly means that the 12 is on the boat. Villanelle knows. She's so smart. I do agree with that. They're so smart for using a wedding as a disguise, I guess.
Well,
sure, Jan.
Right, right. And then, of course, they're like, well, we need to get on that boat before it leaves. But not before Eve changes into a different outfit. But, you know, whatever.
Well, not exactly. It's like half and half. That's how they do this ridiculous episode. But yes, we're back to Carolyn and Pam once again. And I don't know why we're back with them again. I don't know why we're wasting more minutes for some goddamn reason, because apparently there's more to say. Why? We don't know. More Carolyn Snapple facts, because apparently this time it's about ice. She has a Snapple fact, but I don't care about the Snapple fact because I don't care about anything that Carolyn actually has to say in this episode. It's all bad. And she still just talked to Pam about shenanigans. Pam asks if she's feeling homesick, presumably for MI6. And Carolyn says, surprisingly, yes, but you don't go back to MI6 empty-handed. And Pam wants to know what the plan is because, in her mind, whatever Eve and Villanelle are about to do is about to get done.
Right.
And I would agree,
right,
Pam, that they are motivated in so many ways. And what does Carolyn say?
Oh,
perhaps it's what I've wanted. Perhaps this is what I've wanted all along, Pam.
Right.
Like, missing the evil laughter.
Like, something like, you can't stop the game if the game is an honor or something.
Or you can't win the game unless the game is on.
Right.
And Pam just kind of looks shook.
Right.
Because she's like, girl, what? You looking real fake and shady right now. The fuck is this?
She was like, who are you loyal to?
Nobody. I feel like that's Pam because she's like, yo, if you ain't loyal to these hoes or Constantine or MI6, bitch, is there anybody you're loyal to, bitch? Is there anyone that you are loyal to? And Carolyn just replies that even loyalty is a dubious virtue. Just like shame and guilt, like you were saying earlier. Okay, bitch.
She said, except when it's to me.
Trife. She probably thought that was funny.
No,
Pam
right.
was like, it's not funny.
Right.
She's like, it tells me about you.
So do you want the job? And I was like, what?
Pam was like, no, bitch. Right. Actually, no. She looks her shady self right in the eye and says, no. And that is the smartest decision Pam ever did make.
Agreed.
In her whole fucking life. Now, if it was Ellen, I'd say go over there and see what Ellen is doing.
Yeah.
She is definitely going to break you off, potentially, Pam. But Carolyn, no, that's something else. And Carolyn no longer has a hotation, so there's no point in being over there. And Carolyn looks surprised when I don't really think she should. It's like, I thought right. Carolyn was smart. Like, the way you played Pam for Pam's personality type was ridiculous.
Agreed.
If you actually expected to get what you want. This is not the same Carolyn that knew how to fucking play, manipulate Eve Pilastri of series 1 and 2 to get what she wants. This is a different Carolyn. That apparently does not have the smarts. She's just out there being ridiculous and an agent of the patriarchy.
Yeah, she says, thank you for the coffee. And she just walks off the shot. Shot fixates on Carolyn just sitting there, apparently dumbfounded that her clever wordplay didn't work on Pam. Like, I don't get what this play for.
And Pam left some money. And I'm like, you think Carolyn's broke? Or you right, just being ethical or something? And she left her litter. It was like, girl, you left your coffee cup and some money, I guess. But yeah, she walks away and Pam walks off with a smile on her face and she leaves Carolyn there just looking across the river. And we linger once again. We don't need to linger, but we do. And then we get a Dixie Queen title card because it's about that time, y'all.
Oh, yes. Magically. Oh, I shouldn't say magically.
It's not magical. It's nighttime.
It's nighttime.
Time
right,
jump.
Right.
Time jump.
And the time jumped so much that there was probably only time for one of these two to change outfits.
We had a horrible... No, please. That's a horrible explanation. What happens? That doesn't make any sense. But we do start with a wide establishing shot to show that it is nighttime. And it's not a nice shot once again. It's just there. It's like stock photo.
It is
stock footage, photo whatever, footage. Something you download. And then we're in the boat and Eve has indeed changed clothes. She has a turtleneck on. And we do love when Eve has a turtleneck. And I would say that thematically, Eve with a turtleneck is apropos. In this final episode, Eve with her hair up in a turtleneck is not. But the way you costumers did not get it right, director, you didn't get it right. Laura, you didn't get it right because it was a missed opportunity to have Eve's hair down while she was in the turtleneck, which we've seen the goddamn turtleneck in pretty much every epic scene with Eve Pilastri. But then she wouldn't get an epic scene now, would she? But I'm getting ahead of myself. So, yes, They're in the boat, and we notice that Villanelle is still in her wrinkly jumpsuit.
For reason.
Eve has changed clothes, but Villanelle has not. And once again, I have to ask Laura Neal, why? Why did Eve change from what she was wearing in the barn swallow to the turtleneck in the boat? Why was it only Eve that needed to adjust her attire to try and get on this boat? They established in the daytime, we need to get on this boat. They established that they believe it's a wedding on this boat. Villanelle doesn't have anything but that wrinkly jumpsuit in her stolen bags.
Like, why wouldn't she try to blend in to be a wedding guest?
That jumpsuit smells like it's like the song, I smell sex and candy hair. And so, Villanelle, how are you going to wear your sex and candy outfit to the boat? Why are we doing this? I wanted to point it out because it's something else that doesn't.
Right. I was like, sense. Are you the plumber Villanelle? Like, what would we do? Why do we know?
And it's Villanelle. She'd have been like, we got a couple hours. Let's go shopping. Let's really like dress up and then have more sex in the dressing room
add
while we steal these clothes.
Bill. No, right.
Add it to the bill. Well, Villanelle, she has no more credit cards.
No, I know.
But I do know that she still has money. She's paid. And it can't like steal it. Like, merc somebody in the back of motherfucking Ferragamo and do what you gotta do.
Right.
It's filling out.
No, yeah. It's but if y'all know it was a wedding happening on the boat, like what was the, I just wanted to know.
No, but why does Eve change?
Right.
What reason would there be for Eve to put on her turtleneck and for Villanelle to not even put back on her, like, sexy fire sweater?
Right.
That fucking shit. That white sweater she had on. What is the reason? Did you rip Eve's shirt again? You guys had sex again and you just were out of control and you were like, boom, here's a shirt. And so she had to put on the turtleneck. But even so, it's a wedding.
Right.
And so at what point in time does Villanelle not go on theme to an event? What time in the show has Villanelle not dressed up for
Thank
a fucking kill?
You.
I don't understand how the people on this fucking show go to bed at night. I don't know how you guys sleep at night knowing that you sent Villanelle to her final fucking kill in a wrinkly goddamn jumpsuit that wasn't even couture. It looks like it's from JCPenney.
Like,
it looks like it's from the clearance sack of Old Navy. And I, clearance rack of Old Navy. And this is an insult to whoever designed that jumpsuit. I'm just saying it was crinkly as fuck.
No,
Villanelle
true.
Was in it all day. She was in the grass in it, the
yes,
woods,
true.
The dirty camper. She had all her sex in there.
And then you said, show up to a wedding. Right. You said, show up to a wedding and not even fresh enough.
But wait, here's another question. How did y'all just guess that you would get the fuck in? It's a fucking wedding. Like, basic fucking clubs and cafes, whatever, can have dress codes. But it's a wedding.
Right.
And no one's going to see you in your wrinkly jumpsuit and say, bitch, what the fuck? Like, I don't understand.
There's no way this should have worked. I don't get this.
There's no way that you even think Villanelle does this. Like, since
that
when?
That too. Villanelle always understands the dress code assignment when it comes to where she needs to be and do
Terrence,
things.
She's a dramatic bitch.
Right.
It's just that she has a standard of excellence for herself. That she's not going to go slumming it to something that matters, let alone with Eve after they've had the sex. It's just,
she says she
it makes no sense
to be devastating.
It's irrational.
She's dressing like she's the other one. What's the useless one say? Rhianne. That's something that Rhianne would do. Rhianne would wear
all,
this outfit to a wedding.
Don't disrespect Rhianne like that, because even with her pigtails and her ridiculousness and her lack of hands to fight, she had better style.
Well, she did.
She did not have those wrinkles.
That is true.
Let's start there. And that she was true. On the Lady in Red's salary, her fucking boudoir. Fucking, I bet she had access to the closet, to fashions that she wanted, because she was in Ellen's bed. But this is like the most, like, there were so many fucked up things about this finale. There were so many fucked up things about what they did and didn't do. And this is just like, you're like, what is this number? 735? But it's huge.
Yeah.
What they wore, and particularly what Villanelle would wear in her final scenes in the show, are of extreme importance. And y'all said the same goddamn outfit. Wrinkly. That's what y'all said. But she was looking for Emmy nominations for who? For who else? When it looks like barely any effort was put into this motherfucking episode. My God. Like, they didn't even come with weapons, Terrence.
That too.
They didn't weapon shot. Villanelle loves a good weapon. She didn't weapon shot.
Right.
The Villanelle that hid that little bitty gun that got her in trouble with Eve. Is this the same Villanelle that is arriving to this boat without anything? Hidden anywhere?
The Villanelle that sent white roses to Eve Pilastri's doorstep. And went and got a jaunty blade.
Well, I was going to say those white roses do not apply. But the blade does. The blade was to ruin Eve's underwear. And it worked.
It worked.
She could have brought that blade. It's like, girl, I know you still have it.
Right.
But no. I guess we can try to move on. It doesn't match. It doesn't, like, Eve's hair is up again. And
there's a lack of service to the characters that we have come to understand throughout the seasons. And you want to give these characters new experiences. What are you trying to say? That they have new attitudes and they are now being shown in this scene because they're not. These aren't new attitudes. These aren't the same characters. That's the problem. They're not being written as we know them. And so I don't know who approved the story. I don't know who.
The way we deserve them shopping or stealing together.
Yes.
Like we could have had a callback to series one because we know Villanelle loves to dress Eve.
And yes.
A nice suggestion since Eve doesn't. I mean, they said she leveled up this season, but we never saw it. Or rather, Villanelle never saw it because the only person that saw that dress was random people at the ball. But they didn't give us that. They didn't give them nothing cute. Like nothing that was a bookend. Nothing that could have been funny. At the same time, like getting weapons, them arguing over what weapon right. to use. Like that would have been so fucking cute. Like in series two, like, I think we should do this. Well, I think we should do this. Well, bitch, you don't know. I've been taking classes. Bitch, I'm Villanelle and I'm an assassin. I just would have taken any sort of banter between them in preparation for this that at least tells us they're actually preparing for it. Not that it just randomly is happening. Oh, randomly. Here's the boat. Randomly. This is happening. So let's randomly go do it. While I randomly do the electric slide. You know what I'm saying? So anyways, we're back on the boat.
Yes. And they notice a pair of persons fretting because there's someone missing that they definitely don't want to dock. They don't want to leave the dock without this particular person being on the
wedding
boat.
Officiator.
Yes, the officiator.
One of the people is the groom. And well, before they actually interact with the groom, Eve and Villanelle are talking as they walk in, and Eve is wondering how they're going to know who the 12 is. And Villanelle makes a quip that they just may have to kill them all. And I would have loved to see it, especially some of the faces of the people you were killing. But, you know, we know how that goes. Meanwhile, one of the grooms getting married and some woman are discussing where the wedding director is, and then we see that they see Eve and make assumptions, which is wild that they're making these assumptions because apparently they've never met this person before or they've never seen a picture. They've never even seen a picture of the wedding director. What?
Wild.
It's extremely odd behavior for a wedding. Who doesn't know who's officiating their wedding? Who doesn't even know what they look like? It's very odd behavior, friends.
Agreed.
So Eve is mistaken for a woman named Natsuko. Because why not? I guess Laura was like, if we give her an Asian-sounding name, it'll make sense that they have mistaken this random woman, Eve Pilastri, for Natsuko. Fine. And she goes along with the ruse. And the groom is just like, oh my God, thank God. I thought I was going to have to officiate my own wedding. And it's like, really, dude? Do you have the certificate? I know you can get it offline, but I mean, I guess, why not do that? It seems like it might have been cheaper and easier for you guys.
Right.
Okay. And they say they're starting right now, and they rush off with Eve.
Right.
But before Eve can get up the stairs.
Wait,
don't go. Villanelle grabs her arm and pulls her back.
Yeah.
Like it's a Humphrey Bogart film and says, into my arms and into a kiss. And Eve seems a little bit surprised as far as how it's played. And it's like, is this a goodbye kiss? I was worried on the first watch because Villanelle then says, distract them. You guys, another problem with the script. Like, what is this line? What is this line, Terrence? Distract
whomst from what?
She's literally going to officiate a wedding.
Right.
That's so isn't that the distraction? Villanelle, she's going off to officiate the wedding. How much more can she distract them than by officiating the wedding that is the primary distraction, evidently, on this boat, Terrence?
It's
why does the line exist, Terrence?
It should not exist.
Okay. All right. It's a goddamn wedding. Laura, you are horrible. So before the scene is done, Eve and Villanelle share one last look when Eve is at the top of the stairs and your heart starts beating a little because you feel unsafe. You feel unsure. And upstairs, Eve walks into a blended family wedding because that's what it looks like. That's what the costumer said. Let's make this a blended wedding. We're going to show all these faces, but we're not going to show the faces of the 12. And Eve is given a red stole or vestment to wear because she didn't bring her own. Like, she's here to do a wedding, and they said, we have the stole for you. Terrence, there's so many things that don't make any sense. Like, who brings the stole or the vestment for the officiator? Like, I don't know what colors you wear. I don't know what your denomination is. I don't know what you do. But here, take the vestment. Take this vestment and wear it. Okay, Laura, fine. She's told that she looks great, and then she's shoved literally out there amongst the crowd and steps between the two grooms. Looking a bit gobsmacked for a few seconds, naturally, before getting a nod of approval from the one groom who gave her the vestment. And it's like, come on, like, let's get a couple. And I'm like, did one of y'all walk? Because you just appeared here. So who walked down the... Because you were just backstage with her. Did someone walk the thingy? Like, that's part of the wedding. Like, the gays don't get to walk down? And then we cut back to Villanelle, who is walking the boat. It's a Steadicam shot. Following her back. And it's totally uninteresting. And that's why I say that, because I don't... Like, usually... Usually I feel like when you have a Steadicam shot from the back, like it should be having an energy. And that energy can be helped out by lighting and of course the music or the sound score that's happening. But this felt completely uninteresting to me. Like there was nothing to see on the walk. There was nothing interesting on the boat. There was no interesting colors. They're very muted and flat. And we can't see Villanelle's face. And so what are we doing? Because at the very least, Jody could have conjured some shit to make us curious or further anticipate where she's going because Jody's acting in her face. So flip the camera around so we can see. Right.
Got it. So that'd make for more dynamic. Okay, gotcha. And I agree.
Just because we're looking at her back and it's uninteresting. The boat is uninteresting. So why are we doing it when Jody's face is so much more interesting and you have it there? So I would have preferred that as opposed to the dreary setting of the boat and its lack of color, you know, letting Jody work and conjure some shit. But now we eventually see her walk into a kitchen area. And then she opens up like a closet door or whatever. A bottle of gas.
Right. Magic gas.
She just opens it. No one knows.
Right.
There's no alarm.
Right.
Nothing. She just opens it and some sort of gas starts to seep out. And then we're back to Eve.
So here's Eve and she is looking at the blended family before her. And she turns to Groom 1 and she goes, "You are a very handsome man." And then she turns to Groom 2.
And she says, you.
And you.
Are also a handsome man. And together,
sorry.
You are handsome. Men. Two handsome men. But also so much more than that.
So much more than that.
She was struggling. Right.
It was not working.
Struggling.
And then in the wider shot, you notice that the back door opens. And yes, it's Villanelle. And all of a sudden, she's got some inspiration.
Yes, they've made eye contact and she has words. And those words are, relationships are a lot of work. They require effort. And you will have tough times. Sometimes you will feel like you're losing your way. And sometimes you'll feel like you're losing each other. But the beauty in your relationship will be found in the ways you reunite.
Aww.
And they make eye contact at this. And it's so goddamn cute. And honestly, goddamn you, Laura Neal. Because this is the only line that you wrote that maybe I can imbue a piece of sense where they're concerned. Because despite this cesspool, utter cesspool of a season and shit show of a finale, this final line has actual value to me as a Killing Eve fan. Because ultimately, I feel like this show has been all about the ways in which they reunite.
Yes.
Since that very first time they met.
Yes.
In the bathroom. Wear it down. It's been about reuniting since the wear it down, since the immediate connection, since the threads of fate twined themselves, twisted themselves, whatever, together. That is what Killing Eve has been about. Literally, Phoebe Waller-Bridge said, this fucking show exists to get these two bitches back in the same motherfucking room. Emerald, got it. Suzanne, well, Laura, you already know, bitch. You're on the fucking list. So, God damn it. I just wanted to acknowledge that because there's not much good in this fucking episode that is actually written down. There's almost nothing. But this, I thought, was appropriate because it made me like just go back in my head of all the subsequent meetings post the bathroom and how the tension kept ratcheting up in each subsequent meeting and the sexual tension, emotional currency, the murder probability, all those things kept increasing every time they saw each other. And that was the anticipation of the show. The way we would go on about episode 5 when we thought that was the move until season 3 broke it.
Right.
It broke it. God, sure remember did. My muse? My muse was outrageous for Tarky. You know, any new listeners who have gone through those snacks after like the show, like what do y'all even think of our unhinged nature of optimism? Because I screamed a lot, Terrence. About Darky for series 3. Like
when you're looking at things from a lens of possibility, like sometimes and sometimes not even the sky's the limit. Like you go for the stratosphere, you go for the cosmos, the outer limits.
The outer limits.
But at the time, it all felt like if it goes the way that we just, like Phoebe sent us on the path, Emerald gave us a road to walk on. So it was like, so we're just going to go right to this door. This is where we're going. But then someone else came and they said, you know, instead of a door, instead of a path, it's more like, let's open it up a bit so that it's more like
a desert.
Right. Like it's a wider berth of like potential, nothing really to sight, see, and see. But let's just notice how much there is to not see in all of this area. And then Laura said, you know what? Let's just take everything from this area. And now you're in a pit. You're in sinking sand. You have sunk.
Fucking cosplay.
Right.
And she said, let's burn it all down.
She said, I wanted to play with the final episode, even though like she wanted to
play. Like those bitches that hunted witches in the trial. Right. Like those fucking stank hosts.
How dare you send off six episodes and say you did a whole
burn
season.
The witch! That's Laura. I'm sure if we look in her ancestral tree, we will find some shenanigans and goings on. Because, my God, like, how are you this bereft with the show? Like, how do you make this many mistakes? How are you this confused about the thing that you were hired to work on? You were paid. Like, it's like, this is your job.
Are you someone who watches? Right. Are you the kind of person that watches what you create? Like, do you watch? Did you watch your season, Laura Nail? Like, I would.
Oh,
love
you know, she
know.
Watched the Jesus Cristo Villanel. Yes, we know she enjoyed those episodes. They submitted it for Emmys. Anyways, any fucking ways. God. All right. So, the one line. Great. We had the one line and we spoke on that. Congrats. So, anyway, Villanel is watching her, biting her lip, looking smitten as shit. Per usual, as Eve continues, have you ever heard of kintsugi, I believe is what it's called, kintsugi? And it's the Japanese art of gluing broken pots back together with gold. It actually strengthens the pot. It's a way of bonding to create something new. Aww. And it's like they're scars, you know? At least that's what I'm going to say.
No, yeah, I would agree.
You put it back together and it's something new and stronger. And then we see Villanelle notice some muffled screams, and it seems that her gas plan is doing its work. And she takes off her shirt, or she had it off already, but she takes it and puts it to cover her nose, and then takes one last look at Eve, and then heads on in to the kitchen area to do stuff. And Eve finishes by saying something completely her own, and we hear the door slam.
Right.
Foley.
And everybody,
shout out to,
like,
the Foley.
Right,
and everyone looks.
Turns.
I don't know why they look. Terrence, because right. Craft services, the catering, they were back there. They were doing stuff.
Right.
But, you know, Laura said, distraction.
Right.
So
now it's time
this
for
is
Eve.
Time for Eve for the distraction.
Mind you, she's officiating an entire wedding. But
this is
the distraction.
This is the distraction.
This
is the distraction.
Oh, actually,
this is
the
what Villanelle asked for. This is the moment that Eve was
right.
So she turns the groom's heads. She does it. She distracts them. And she says, you may now kiss the groom. And everyone applauds. Oh, yay for gay love. Queer love. Yay for queer love.
Look at how distracting queer love is.
Mm. Oh, well. What's that message? No.
At least somebody gets queer love in this episode.
Well, anyway. You know what? Stop it. They allegedly have had all of this implied sex. And since we do what we want, we're going to go with it. This is our podcast. We do what we want.